am joined on the phone by Jade Bird, an up-and-coming and very talented musician. 2019's been big for you already. You know, you've been releasing some new stuff from your upcoming debut album, which is out on the 19th of April, right?
It certainly is, yeah, the big day. I mean, it's 12 tracks. I feel like, you know, your debut is what you've been working on your whole life almost to kind of get across. So, yeah, you know, every word's by me and the music's by some fantastic musicians who are my best friends too. And it was made in upstate New York, which is 10 miles out from Woodstock in the Rhinebeck area. And it was just a magical process that I'm just so thrilled to be sharing now and talking about. You know, I'm loving the conversations we're having around it.
So looking at I Get No Joy, what's the meaning behind it? What was your inspiration for that one?
Well, I Get No Joy, I wrote it when I was actually ironically really, really in a good spot and I was feeling quite happy. We were chilling out where we were recording and there's this barn that I've written all the singles in. I don't know what's going on. I don't want to jinx it, but it's just a magical place. You know, it's just like some sort of voodoo going on in this barn. So yeah, I wrote it then, but I think it's a way of my subconscious dealing with things, you know, that usually comes out in songs. And for a part last year, because it was such a busy year, you're so overexposed in your mind. Sometimes you stand on stage and it's a perfect evening and a perfect audience, and you don't feel that much. And I Get No Joy was just kind of exploring why, you know. It talks about, you know, suppression, like all the pills, all the directors, all this media influx, and why you should be happy all the time. And I think I Get No Joy was just about that, you know. It was a moment, and it's kind of a fighting song against that in a way. It forces you to be present.
It's definitely a very punchy song. It makes you feel some kind of way.
Yeah, exactly. And I think any music that does make you feel something, it's like you said, it's just like it's kind of the right music to be listening to. You know, there's a lot of there's certain streaming sites say it's like listening out and listening in. I think every song I want to do is a listening song. You know, you never want to have music to pass the time if you're an artist, really.
I've seen the music video for this one, which I would say is pretty exhilarating, of you whizzing about in a car. Where did you get the idea for that from?
So I really am on a 90s hype right now. I love everything that's going on in that era. It used to be the 60s, but now it's the 90s in my head. And some loads of the videos are kind of like cyclical. They really play with time in such a clever way. And I really wanted to just do something inspired by that. So me and the director, Jamie Threes, we were talking and we were like, he's like, okay, we get this director and you're in the car. And so basically we came up with this idea that he's like, do it again. And I'm a stunt woman doing all these flips and turns and breaking my nose, like there's blood everywhere on my face, which was interesting to put on. And yeah, it just goes back around until the point it's like I'm getting no joy, and then I, you know, go off in the car. And I love the movement. I love how it's a step up from all the stuff I did before. I'm excited, you know, the journey, I guess, in a way.
I also saw on your Twitter that you actually had your second driving lesson on that video shoot.
It's the truth. I know. I feel like a fraud. It's like people are like, so all them donuts you did and all them car stunts, because the back window broke. Like she went over this badass lady who went over this bump, like smashed in the back window. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I just did two laps around the field and sung in the car at 5 miles an hour, but it's okay. I mean, it was pretty wild. But you do get this confidence, like you're when you're on a music video, you're like, yeah, I want to make the most of it. It's the same thing as everything. I feel like when you get an opportunity to do something, you kind of just have to overcome that fear and just be like, I'm going to be into this for now. You know, I'm going to try and give the best performance I can.
It was a bit crazy. I bet you were a bit like, oh God, what do I do?
Yeah, I mean, that's every kind of walk of life. If you get the opportunity, like, just absolutely take it, because sometimes you just don't know if it's going to come up again.
Exactly, you have to make the most of it while you still can, I guess. So I know that you've travelled around a lot as a child, and obviously now your music is taking you to a whole range of new places. Would you say there's a particular place that's helped to inspire some of your music?
I never really work on location, because obviously I like, it's a kind of like my locations like move so much. I kind of, you know, went from Germany to Wales to like England again, and I never felt like a bedroom was particularly, like a lot of kids, you know, their bedroom is their family bedroom. I never really had that. So for me it's the people, and I'm just always been quite a, you know, I always study people quite intensely. And obviously a lot of breakups happened in my family when I was young, and I got a chance to really firsthand just see it all, you know. And I think as a songwriter, it just trained me, because I think if you're a good songwriter, you have a, you know, an empathy level that, you know, it's quite high empathy level to be able to be so descriptive. And yeah, I just think it was all good practice really for what I wanted to do in future.
I think as well, when you're performing in so many different places and, you know, experiencing all these new things, you can sometimes really connect the vibe of a place to how you feel.
Yeah, it's the vibe, it's the environment, isn't it? It's like it's what you're brought up in. It has, I think a lot of songwriters that I love have been through quite a lot in their lives and often struggles. And it was really interesting with this album, because I didn't think I'd be able to write any songs if I was happy, because it's just the kind of cliche you fall into. You know, you've got to be sad, you've got to be down to write true music. And I fell in love and managed to write half my album while being in that environment. And that was a revelation for me, a real revelation.
It's quite interesting because you're obviously going on your own personal journey, but your music's going on that journey with you as well, and it changes just as you're changing all the time.
Absolutely, it's a transition. And what's fascinating, and what I think is a really kind of good social study, is like you're changing, but you kind of have this open diary out. You know, that's what an album is. It's an open diary. And if you look deep enough, if the songs are by the artist, you know, you can find so much out. And I think, you know, I'm a very, very honest person, so for me, it's not as terrifying as I'm sure it would be for some people. But there's definitely, you know, change is just been huge in my life since being a kid, and therefore something that I'm kind of forced not to necessarily be afraid of. Like with the music, every single I'm putting out, it feels different on a level, and I want to keep it that way. I want to keep things exciting and not predictable.
So I know you've been to Nottingham before, which is obviously where we're based, and you've performed in Bodega and Rescue Rooms. So are you set to return?
I am. I think we're going on a few dates with Tom Walker in April around the album time, and then I'm going to be doing my own in-stores for all the record shops around the UK. So I'm not sure if Nottingham's either. It's definitely on the Tom Walker date, I think, and probably on the in-stores or somewhere in the north around Nottingham. And then in the autumn, I'm going to be doing my own headline tour. So it'll be in another venue again. And for sure, I'll be coming to Nottingham again for that, because it's just, you know, it's a fantastic place for music. And everyone's got such a style up there. My family are from like Derbyshire, so Nottingham's relatively near. And I find like the Sheffield Nottingham area, everyone's got like a real style that I love about it. But they have their, you guys up north, you've always had your own thing in music and in culture and in fashion. And it's really always good to watch and go up and see that.
When you're performing, do you have any pre-show routines or rituals to calm your nerves? That's obviously if you do get nervous.
Oh, honestly, I wish. Do you know what? I think what everyone does is just do a load of stuff and hope one of them works. Like half the time you find yourself in the back of the stage with a steamer, you know, you're doing warm-ups on your phone, you're running around, you're just trying to do anything that'll mean that you sing better. But in all honesty, I can stand by my warm-ups. I think they do, you know, and you go la la la. I think that does help you. But a lot of stuff you're just kind of like, is this working? Yeah. So I don't know.
When you are performing, do you have a song that never fails to get you pumped? Because, you know, sometimes when you're at a gig, you can sometimes see a change in someone's stage presence, and you can just tell that this is the song, this is the one.
Oh, it's hilarious. Love Has All Been Done Before is like you just get in a weird kind of headspace because you're just playing it and you feel so good. It's just that you forget what you're playing, which is, you know, the aim of playing music. You just kind of forget where you are for a moment. But there's also this unreleased track called Hold That Thought that's like so guitar heavy. It's like dun, 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 and it's just like kills it. It's so fun to play. It didn't fit on the album. It'll come out in the world, you know, I'm sure in future, but for some reason it just, there's a few tracks that I just was like, I don't want to fill the album up too much, you know. I want people to sit down and listen to it in one sitting, you know. So you get loads at the live show that you wouldn't get anywhere else.
I guess as well, it must be such an electric feeling with all those people that are there to see you and you're there to perform for them. And I suppose it must be kind of overwhelming.
Oh, it is terrifying, especially when it's your headline, because all I think in my head is like, people have paid money to see me, people have paid money to see me, please don't mess it up, please don't mess it up. But the one thing I have learned from playing so much is that A, people are often on your side. So if you do mess up, it's okay. You know, the world's not going to end and we laugh it off together. And B, like the audience matters more than any of them know. Like in terms of, I tested out every song on this record live with them. And if they didn't like it, you know, they had an influence on my record. And just in terms of making you feel comfortable, like an audience that makes you feel comfortable gets so much of a better show and so many more jokes. And, you know, it's a conversation then. It's not like this kind of, you know, performance, one rigid performance. But I've had some fantastic shows with just some lovely, lovely audiences that have been very kind to me.
Have there been any particular shows that really stick out in your mind?
Well, in terms of like size, like London is obviously the biggest one I ever did. And that was a pretty big step for me because I was like, oh, you know, so, you know, I've never played in front of this many people who've come to see me in my life. So that was really good. But Manchester's always felt very, very warm. It's the first one to sell out every time on my tours. And, you know, the people that are there just stunning. So, yeah, it's you know, a bit of both. I love the small venues and the big venues are good for being big venues. You're just like, oh, gosh, you know.
So as a 21-year-old, a lot of people at this age are, you know, at uni or working 9-to-5 jobs. So for me as a uni student, my day would typically consist of a lecture or a seminar, maybe a library trip if I'm being good. But of course, as well, I have got to fit a Netflix binge in there somewhere. What's a typical day in the life of Jade Bird like?
Well, it's like you said, you know, any difficult day, I have to remind myself that it's not actually a difficult day because I'm doing what I love. It's interesting. I really love studying things I want to study. The struggle I always had was like, I can't study things I don't like. And you have to do that to become an academic or to become what you want, you know, and that's just life. But a difficult day for me, it's often tiredness that gets you on the road because, for example, like I did the music video in LA and then the next day we flew to Italy and then the next day I'm in Brussels and the next day Paris, and then that's four days you've been in four different time zones and you're like, oh my lord, like what is happening here? So that is, you know, could be deemed as difficult, I guess, but I'm very conscious that I'm like, this is a fantastic opportunity and I'm so happy, you know, and I'm really aware of that.
Yeah, you're really making the most of it, which is great, because I think obviously not everyone, but some people would think, oh, you know, this is just my job, whatever. But it's so good when you actually appreciate what you're doing as well.
Yeah, you're right. And there's nothing worse, I think, than when you get someone who's got all these fantastic opportunities and doesn't use them. You kind of feel like a proud parent, even though you're a fan of an artist. You're like, come on, you know, you got everything. You need to make this work. You know, there's a lot of people working hard to make things they don't want to work. So, yeah. I mean, I really get it. I watch my mum work solidly at jobs for, you know, ridiculous hours when I was a kid all my life, so that's helped to make me grateful for where I am.
Finally, if you could sum up your new album in just three words, what would they be?
Oh, you would have thought I'd got this by now, but I always come to this question and I'm like, oh, fiery, honest, and I think it's unique in a way that, you know, I'm going to say unique, but I think it's unique for now. I think it's unique for me because it is so very me. And I just hope I can kind of continue that and continue to get little nuances that are unique to me in a musical history that's just like forever. You know, I hope I can find something that is definably me.
Well, I personally am very, very excited for the release of the album on the 19th of April. And I honestly wish you all the best luck with it because I can already tell it's going to be great.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited. And as I said, thank you for playing the records up till now.